Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
Stop, Jeremy. Are we really going to do that? Are we doing a Billy the Kid kind of thing there?
My brushy Bill.
Your brushy Bill. We are doing episode 73 of the Deuce. We are doing our second of the series of Westerns.
73 episodes
73
ago.
Episodes is how old you are. You are 73. In case you couldn't figure out, we are doing Young Guns 2.
That's correct.
Stop. You sound like that one puppet from that Today Special.
Which one?
The security guard guy.
Oh.
Jody and Murphy.
No one's going to understand that reference.
You so put on the magic badge and...
All right, Sam. So it is episode 73. We are about 1 minute in and we're already off the rails. So congratulations on that.
Yay.
There's no phonies about us, Jeremy.
Correct.
Speaking of phonies, no phonies, that is. Yes. We are part of the No Phony Podcast Network.
Correct.
You can find that by Googling No Phony Podcast Network. NoPhonyNetwork.com, right?
Yes.
The podcast of the month is MC Variety Hour, right? Miles and Crawford? Yes, it is. I looked it up before we went on air. I'm on top of it today.
You are.
You? I don't know. I don't know about you.
I lose track of time very easily.
So check them out. Check out the wonderful podcasts on our network. We've got plenty of them. We've talked about them before. So go ahead and do that. You got anything about this movie before we take a break, Jeremy?
It was a sequel to Young Guns.
Well, that's really great.
And it was the second of the series.
It is the second of the series.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well,
of course, Charlie Sheen's character dies in the first movie.
Correct.
So he's not in this movie.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yes.
Pat Garrett was played by someone else in the first movie.
He was, yeah. And in this one, though, he's played by William Peterson.
CSI Manhunter's William Peterson.
Yep. Which, it works out really well, because William Peterson's very bow-legged anyway. He actually has bow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's bow-legged. So.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that how he got the CSI gig? They needed someone bow-legged?
That was in the description.
To counteract Mark Helgenberg, I thought they needed someone of those. I think I read that somewhere.
Well, they both had worked together before, went to school together. Something.
Did they really?
Yeah. In Chicago.
In Chicago? Oh, is she from Chicago? I mean, she's from Omaha. Or not Omaha, but Fremont.
Yeah.
Norfolk.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but he's a Chicago actor.
He's Chicago. Okay. I didn't know she then. Well, that makes sense that she would go to Chicago. Steppenwolf, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. We just made all that up.
It sounds legit. I've read it a bunch of times, but it sounds familiar.
This movie you can watch on Hulu. So if you're a Hulu subscriber, you can watch it on that. Directed by some guy. I can't think of his name. I swear he did a couple other sequels, like Under Siege.
Jeff Murphy.
Yes. So you can do that. This movie, I would say, is probably famous for the soundtrack or the song at the end of the movie that hit number one on the Billboard charts.
Mm-hmm.
For Mr. John Bon Jovi, Blaze of Glory.
Yes.
In fact, like, he wrote the song for this movie, and he was so inspired by that.
Yeah.
He created a whole album around that song, Blaze of Glory, catapulted the single to number one back in the day, and earned an Oscar nomination and won a Golden Globe Award.
So we almost had Oscar award winning John Bon Jovi.
It's only Golden Globe Award winner John Bon Jovi.
Well, that's not, I have a Golden Globe.
Yeah, well, anyone does.
Yeah, they hand them out at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, pretty much. You walk in and the Hollywood Foreign Press is like, here you go.
Yeah.
Here's your bottle of champagne.
Participation ribbon of the award season.
So before we go any further, I think we should take a break.
Yes.
So after these messages, we will be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Internet, and all the pods at sea. This is the Nixcast Podcast. It's a podcast about questions. Hard questions. soft questions, luxurious questions. Questions. We answer them. All three of us. Myself, Z, and my friends. Best friends. T and G. So, give us a listen over at thenixcast.com. And if you have a question you want us to answer, you can send it over to nick@thenixcast.com. Thank you, and good night.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Travis from the Know Your Draft Podcast, and you are listening to the No Phony Podcast Network. Follow our network and our show on Twitter, @PhonyKnow and @KnowYourDraft. Thanks, and enjoy the episode, my friends.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
So check out that podcast. Check out the podcast two before that. And then, like, of those three, because what? We played about five promos?
Five promos.
Five promos?
Yeah.
Swear we did.
Yeah.
We don't.
I won't cut any of those for time.
No, you won't. We usually play it. We don't put it in after we record everything. Why would we do that?
No.
We play them on the spot.
Spoiler. Magic.
No, I'm not spoiling any magic. There's no magic to us at all.
No.
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 Speaking of magic, let's talk about the magic of the film that is Young Guns 2. And when I mean magic, I'm talking about the casting in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big cast.
It is a big cast.
I mean, it is bigger than the cast that they gave Lou Diamond Phillips for breaking his arm during this movie.
It's true. Broke his elbow.
Was it his elbow?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We have Emilio Estevez as Billy the Kid.
Yes.
And he also plays Brushy Bill. I don't know how much our listeners know about, like, some of the, like, the gunfighter, like, history and stuff like that, but
sure, some of them do.
Yeah.
So some of them are like me, and, you know.
So Brushy Bill Roberts was a guy who I think his name was like Ollie Roberts or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Is he Ollie related Roberts. To Julia? Like Julia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Emma.
Yep. And what's his name? Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts.
Yeah, he's a fucking man.
Yeah. He came forward like in 48, 49, something like that, and ended up admitting to an attorney that he was Billy the Kid. And it so happened because there was another guy who also was an outlaw living close by who, like, he confessed finally that he was an outlaw during this thing, like a land settlement deal, that he was an outlaw and that, like, there was others who had settled and, like, he basically said, yeah, like, he's Billy the Kid. And so this attorney, William Morris, went to go check him out.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say anything at first, and then he admitted to being part of the James Gang for a little bit, and then admitted to...
Isn't that like a music group, the James Gang?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Jesse, Frank and Jesse and Rick James.
Bitch.
And so he finally admits to this. William Morris tried to prove it, tried to get him a pardon from the governor, who had promised him one years before, from... Lou, oh God, what was his name? Governor Lou something or other. Lou Wallace, who is the guy who wrote the Ben-Hur, originally the book Ben-Hur. So he goes to get the pardon from him. He gets screwed. Now he wants it here, like, many, many years later.
The James Gang was an American band formed in Cleveland, Ohio in 1966. And they had hits like Funk Number 49 to Walk Away. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
You thought I was talking about the funk band, the James Gang.
No, rock band. They had a song called Funk Number
49. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry for the confusion.
Mm-hmm. You weren't?
No.
I don't
Does
know.
Does that even make sense?
Why I don't would know I my mean? History.
So anyway.
So that's where the movie starts. The movie opens. It's like a flashback.
The movie opens with that, too. The movie opens see
with this car pulling up.
Well, we see Brushy Bill. We see an old man walking across, like, the desert. or like these sandy areas.
Yeah. With a horse with no name, but that's America or bread? Anyway,
yeah. Okay, so he's walking along, and then a truck passes by, which is weird in Young Guns too. You don't expect to see a truck pass by or a car or whatever. And you see him, he's kind of sitting by the side of the road. A car pulls over, and an attorney, who, his name is Charles Phelan in this. In reality, it was William Morris.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So
Charles Phelan, who's played by Bradley Whitford.
Credited as Brad Whitford.
Brad Whitford,
At the time, he was going by Brad Whitford, I guess. So future Emmy Award winner, Brad Whitford, was in this movie.
Yes. And so he...
Which is great. That's awesome.
He was...
very young looking.
Yeah, he is. Very young. It was a second. Like, we were like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's multiple people like that in this. But he has been contacted by Brushy Bill, basically saying, hey, I'm dying. I want to receive that pardon that I was promised 70 years ago by the governor of New Mexico at the time. He promised it, and he went back on our deal. So Lew Wallace is obviously no longer around, so I want the current governor to give me a pardon. So he contacted the attorney to help him. He claims, you know, hey, I'm... The guy was like, well, what pardon? Like, what's going on? And he said, well, I'm William H. Bonney, to which the attorney kind of laughs at him. And he was like, he was killed in 1881. You know, Billy the Kid was killed in 1881. And he's like, well, you know, that's what Pat Garrett wanted you to think, basically. And he says, okay. Is there any proof that you're the famous outlaw? And basically he starts telling a story, as if that's the proof of...
Well, obviously the proof is you sound like Emilio Estevez.
Yes.
In old makeup.
He talks like this the whole time because I'm old. And he has like old age makeup on.
So this movie has narration through the old man of himself, which I cannot understand him sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's very raspy and very like. Can I
tell you, I hate when movies do this.
When movies,
yes,
are what,
like when they have like the very young actor play the very, very old, like
it depends. If it's just that Emilio Estevez isn't really good at playing that old character.
I was more willing to accept this one than I was in Mr. Nobody.
Oh,
what was his name?
Oh, yeah.
Jared Leto.
Jared Leto?
Yeah, Jared Leto.
He did talk like
terrible. Was how he laughed.
He did, but that's such a good movie, and I'm not going to...
Yeah, it's a great movie, but his old age thing killed me. That's why I'm like, you couldn't find an elderly actor who could portray whatever.
Yeah, that seems odd, that, you know, but whatever.
Yeah. But... It's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. He said, wait a minute. You know, the attorney says, wait, like, do you have any proof? And he begins the story. So the story begins where a while after the Lincoln County Wars.
Okay, so the first one, I've never seen the first one. You know, like, people are going to start listening to this podcast and go, he's never seen a damn movie in his life.
I know.
I constantly am like, I've never seen the first movie.
And I'm always like, I've seen this in theaters.
You're like, I saw it in theaters. I saw this shitty movie in theaters. No, this is not a bad movie. I've never seen it, so I don't know what it was about.
Yeah.
All I knew was it seemed like it was kind of this MTV kind of Western with this young cast.
Yeah.
And I always thought, like, they were... Because I've seen previews where it's like they're riding a horse and they're just guns a-blazing. I thought that's just what the movie was.
Was just them.
Just them riding
young
around.
Young people with guns.
Shooting guns.
Yes. It's about right.
And I didn't think they were young, because it doesn't say young people shooting guns, too.
Yeah,
you it's just thought, young guns.
You thought...
So maybe they're shooting not really old guns.
Wow, this gun is only one day old.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why is it called Young Guns?
Well,
maybe Young Gunslingers, too.
Well, if you hear somebody called a hired gun, though...
Oh, yeah, well, you know, ruin my joke, would you?
With pleasure. So it's after the Lincoln County Wars, which were like range wars that happened in the first movie in the New Mexico
like
Territory.
Territory Wars?
Or? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the New Mexico Territory. Billy the Kid and these other guys were part of the Regulators.
Regulate. Warren G gonna regulate.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, but the...
Did they play that song in the first movie? They should have.
They should have gone forward and figured out the song.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I guess that movie came out in like 88?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So this is like 90.
Yeah, 91.
90. No, it's like 90, 91.
Yeah. It is 90. August 1st, 1990. Yeah. So... The Regulators, those who were left standing at the end of the first movie, go their separate ways. So Billy has become basically started a new gang with Dave Rudabaugh
on bass.
Dave Rudabaugh on bass.
Yeah, bass.
Also on bass.
The James Gang touring.
On bass.
Touring the Mexican territories.
And so in this one, they call him Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh.
Yeah, that's weird.
But I always just knew him as Dirty Dave Rudabaugh.
Dirty Dave or Arkansas if you're nasty.
Yes. I'm sorry, did you say if you're nasty or you're Nancy?
Both.
Okay.
If your name is Nancy, you have to call him Ark.
You also think Nebraska and Alaska are next to each other. Yeah. So Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh, who's played by Christian Slater, reach for the skies.
Yeah.
Greetings and salutations. This is a robbery. So
this is like in between before he was getting really in trouble and when he was coming into his own. Right?
Yes.
Because like, Heathers was like 80s.
Yeah.
Like late 80s.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Let's see. And he's also writing with Pat Garrett, who was an outlaw.
Again, William Peterson.
Yep, at the time. But played by William Peterson. So.
The beautiful, like, facial hair.
Oh, my God. Especially at the beginning. He has, like, the craziest.
The chops.
Like, a chop-mustache combo that would, like, put Lemmy to shame. It was pretty magnificent. But we lose it part of the way through, which is okay. So they are riding together, pulling jobs and everything like that. The New Mexico governor has issued warrants for the arrests of those involved in the Lincoln County Wars. And so they're going after all these people because he wants to bring them to justice. So,
oh, okay. So, this, you know, there is a little bit of from the first movie. That
yes. Kind of, yeah.
But if you don't know, you would be.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're wondering why they're picking a bunch of people up. We see them riding and we see them getting into trouble and everything. But we also see that they're hunting down people. So like they hunt down Doc Scurlock, Josiah Doc Scurlock, I think is his full name. Yeah, Josiah Gordon Doc Scurlock.
Did he direct Supersize Me?
No, that is Morgan Doc Spurlock.
Okay. I was just checking.
That is Liver Trouble. Morgan Liver Trouble Spurlock. So they round up Doc Scurlock, who has gone on to be a teacher back in New York. So he's teaching children, and they bust in and arrest him. We also see Jose Chavez. Oh, who's played by Kiefer Sutherland?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes. And we see Jose Chavez y Chavez, played by Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah. This is the third movie that Lou Diamond and Kiefer are in, by the way.
Really?
Young Guns would be the first one.
Yeah.
And then in between Young Guns and Young Guns 2, Renegades.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So they get imprisoned to await hanging. Now, during all of this, too, we see what it's like in their off time. Like, you know, they're riding, Billy's just going crazy. He's just being Billy the Kid. He, like, kind of doesn't want to change. He, you know, wants to keep doing what he's doing, even though the other regulators have moved on. And they have some close calls, and they get in some trouble. In the meantime, they keep going to this town where, you know, they just relax between jobs. And Pat talks about how he doesn't really want to be doing this forever. Pat Garrett does. So, meanwhile...
Right, because Pat really wants to be a CSI investigator.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Or work for the FBI and hunt down Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. He does.
Either one of those two things.
Or wants to be like a truck driver in Friends at the End of the World or whatever it was called.
What?
He was like, he had a bit part here fairly recently in something.
Oh, okay.
So Billy goes and meets with the new governor. Lou Wallace, who agrees, he said he would pardon Billy if he testifies against the Dolan Murphys, who are like another gang.
Now, I think, is it Scott Wilson? Is that his name? The actor who plays him?
Who plays Lou Wallace?
Yeah, from the Ninth Configuration.
Yes.
Yeah. And Junebug, which we watched recently, which is a great movie.
Yeah.
Scott Wilson, I'm sorry about that.
What
a great character actor this guy is.
Yes,
underappreciated.
Who was also in CSI with William Peterson.
There you go. How many episodes? Was it just a guest?
Oh, he was in tons of episodes.
Really?
Yeah. He was Catherine Willow's dad, Mark Helkenberg's dad.
Oh, that's really good casting.
Good. Yeah, he was great. Yeah, and he was great. Sometimes he was good, sometimes he was bad, and sometimes he's just in between. He was...
It just seems like this movie... It seems like everyone that was involved with it liked to work together with each other.
Yeah.
You know, or like cross paths later on.
Yes, they did.
Kiefer Sutherland and William Peterson were in a movie called The Contender.
Yes.
Together. So there you go. So a lot of these people just I don't know if it just, what's the word I want? You know, I don't know, but they work together.
Yeah. So Billy says that, he will... he's going to testify against
serendipitous.
His...
I'm sorry.
There you
That's
go.
The word I wanted.
Yes.
I was trying to think of that shitty John Cusack movie. Yeah.
And that was the only one you came up with, or
no? I was thinking of 2012, but you know, whatever.
So Billy figures out part of the way into having agreed to testify against these gang members. That he is, basically it was a trick. He's being arrested with no chance of testifying against his enemies. So while he's there, and they basically say, you're never even going to make the trial. You see, what's going to happen is, the lynch mob is going to come for you.
Right.
And we're not going to stop him.
At this point, did he say, hold on, let me write this down. And then he was right. He was actually writing Ben-Hur at the time.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, I don't
exactly
know when he wrote Ben-Hur, but he did write Ben-Hur.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
So now, while he's in jail, he manages to escape his handcuffs because Billy the Kid had small hands And so he was able to slip out of the manacles very easily, which is something that would show up later. So when Bushy Bill was trying to prove who he was, he also proved that he could slip out of handcuffs really easily. So that was one of the ways they tried to prove it.
Yeah, but once you get older, don't you, like, shrink a little bit?
Yeah.
Certain things?
Well, yeah.
Come on.
Sure.
Yeah. Reverse Benjamin Buttons.
He's not reverse Benjamin. You mean age appropriately?
Yes. Yes.
Age that's forward. What I mean. I think you just call it aging.
I think it's just called growing.
Reverse Benjamin Buttoning.
We are all reverse Benjamin Buttons every day. I'm doing it right now as I talk.
So Billy ends up escaping, and but they still have all the other. All the other outlaws that they have, basically they dug a pit in the ground and covered it with bars so they can't get out of it. That night, the lynch mob shows up, and you get these three people show up from the lynch mob, and they are going to start hanging people. So they ask for everybody to be let out or to get up so they can start killing them, start lynching them. And turns out, and it's, again, their voices, they didn't even change them that much. Turns out it's Rudabaugh and Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. So they are springing their friends from jail. So they start to write away.
Going, that kind of sounds like Billy the Kid. I mean, we as an audience know.
Yes, we do.
The Kid, but.
Well, they start to get away when the real lynch mob shows up, and there's a ton of them, and then all hell breaks loose, and they're rioting trying to get away.
At the beginning, when they put Kiefer Sutherland, and I think one of them tries to escape, they shoot him. That is a cameo by John Bon Jovi.
Yes.
So he went down in a blaze of glory.
Indeed.
Indeed. I don't know why you're pausing.
That's true.
On that terrible joke, why would you pause?
I was just waiting for more.
Oh, no.
That's just all of... Okay. So, he springs them from jail, and so the gang, they escape Lincoln County. Billy, he mentions the Mexican Blackbird, which he says is a...
That's a sex act, right, that... From that one hearing, that Kavanaugh hearing that we...
Yeah.
Okay.
It is now that I'm entering it in Wikipedia and such.
I try not to be too topical, but yeah. Come on.
So he says it's the Mexican... They're going to head to the Mexican Blackbird, which is a broken trail that only he and a few others know that like leads down to Mexico. So they're trying to follow along with that. And we see Doc is not happy. He doesn't want to be there. He wanted to get out of that life. And so he's like, how could you do this? And so he wants out. And he even goes so far as like draw a rifle on Billy. Like he's going to shoot him. And basically, Billy's just like, look, if you don't want to ride with us, then go away. You just head back home or whatever. So they start taking off. Doc rides a little bit and sees there's a bunch of horses heading for them. So he turns around and heads back with the gang and they get out of there.
Yeah, this is where, because they do the voiceover thing, too. And he's just like, Doc, it didn't take Doc long to figure out to follow us.
Yeah.
I'm like, pointless.
Yeah.
Pointless narration right there.
Yeah, I mean, we knew what was going on.
It wasn't funny and it was just kind of pointless. There's points where that happens in this movie a little bit. Yes, it's important to have maybe that narration there to kind of bleed through a plot, but like that was just, I don't know. I didn't like
it. It didn't advance it in any way.
No, not really.
Yeah. So they head back to town or to like their little pit stop rest area. I can't remember the place it's called, but they head back.
I think it's Denny's.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yes.
And so when they get there...
They have the Grand Slam.
Yep, they do.
Yep. All this is factional.
It is all factual, according
but
to...
the movie is very
according
factional,
According to Brushy
too.
Bill. Yeah.
You know.
So they get there, and while they're there, Pat says, "You know what? I'm done. Like this, I'm out."
Well, yeah, he does. He likes Village Inn instead of Denny's.
That's true. He does. So it's when they pick up JoJo IHOP McGillicuddy.
See, IHOP
to be the
IHOP
McGillicuddy. IHOP along Cassidy.
See, he wants an IHOP. They want Village Inn at Denny's. And yeah. It all, you know.
So, no, but Pat Garrett's like, "Look, I'm out. I've done enough of this. He's done robbing. He's done doing whatever. He's saved up money to make like a boarding house with a little restaurant in it. It was going to be called Garrett's Place."
Right. And when you mean Garrett's Place, you mean Mrs. Garrett's Place.
Correct.
And Tootie and Natalie will be there.
Yes.
And they'll have Edna's Edibles.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's a thing.
It is true.
Is Pat Garrett related to Mrs. Garrett? I don't know. But it's fictional, right? Or not. Or it's factional. We don't know.
It's factional.
It's satisfactional.
He's real. Pat Garrett was real.
Pat Garrett's real, but there's a lot of this movie that they kind of
Pat Garrett and Brad Garrett.
Pat Garrett and Brad Garrett.
Yep, they're related.
Billy, Raymond, Billy, the kid, Billy
the kid.
Raymond, come. This is Billy the kid.
So anyway, Pat Garrett decides. Brad Garrett decides not to go with the gang.
I'm not gonna go with you.
I'm not going with you anymore, Billy.
I'm gonna open a place called Pizza Bones.
Pizza Bones.
Yes. With a falcon breath and pizza bones.
Because it was the voice of Krang.
Correct. Throwback.
Hey-o.
A bottle of beer.
So Garrett's out. And it's really at this point, Rudabaugh thinks he should be in charge of the gang. And Billy's like, no, that's not what's going to happen here. And so they're basically trying to vie for control of this thing. But before they head out, they manage to pick up a couple people. So in addition to Jose Chavez and Doc Scurlock and Dirty Dave, they pick up Henry William French.
Did you say who played the young kid, the 14-year-old kid?
I will, here in a second.
Go ahead.
So they pick up Henry William French, a.k.a. Buckshot George, who is played by Alan Ruck.
Cameron from Ferris Bueller.
Yes. Now,
or Spin City.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then they also pick up Tom O'Foliard, who is played by Balthazar Getty.
That's the kid?
Yeah.
First of all, awesome name. Second of all, every time you're on screen, I thought you were Eddie Furlong.
Yeah, he looked a lot like him.
I was like, Eddie Furlong?
He fit the image
like
for the day.
You look like cleaned up Eddie Furlong.
Oh, you know what, though? He looks relatively okay now, and I cannot say the same for Eddie Furlong.
That's true.
So they get Tom O'Foliard, Buckshot George, and they all go to confront, before that, so Henry, Buckshot George, is very, he's mild-mannered, he wants to get back because a lot of people's land got taken, you know, like, people got screwed in these wars, and so he wants to settle the score. And Tom O'Foliard is just kind of a naive kid who looks up to Billy the Kid. So they all go to confront. There's a cattle baron, John Simpson Chisholm, played by James Coburn.
Excuse me, what?
John Simpson Chisholm?
Well, I'm sorry that we had to say that disgusting word.
Chisholm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said something else.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you did. Played by James Coburn.
Yeah, the cameo kind of role.
Yes.
You would say.
Yeah.
Although, like he was lumped in, like, in the credits. I was like, James Coburn is in this. But he was lumped in credits with someone else. You figured with the caliber of James Coburn.
I honestly can't remember if he was in the first one. I think he was in the first one.
Yeah, but you figured he would be towards the end with James Coburn.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
But, so they go after Chisholm and John Simpson. Chisholm. So they go after him and they say, hey, the way I see it, we fought for you in the Lincoln County Wars and we did these things. You owe us money. And so they are like, you know, fork over the cash.
Right.
And if you don't, we're going to start killing your hired hands here.
Right. They point a gun. It looks like they're going to shoot Chisholm.
Yeah.
Like just shoot Chisholm all over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're in right such, there. They're in such close range that there's just be Chisholm everywhere. I mean, Chisholm just dripping from the walls.
Flying everywhere.
Chisholm just in your hair.
Gross.
I mean, Chisholm everywhere. You started this.
I did.
So they rob him. Basically, they say you owe us five. They want $500. And I think they're like, we're going to kill one of your people and then take however much money off each time.
Yeah, that seems very weird.
He finally gives them the money after they kill a couple guys. But then Chisholm and the governor, they are like, okay, we cannot have him doing this. Like, we got to stop Billy the Kid for good. So they go to Pat Garrett, and they offer to give him the job as the Lincoln County Sheriff.
Now, they don't offer just to give him a job. They give him a makeover.
They do.
They shave those chops off. Then we got this nice, like, mustache.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. But they agreed to, they say, we're going to give you $1,000.
And a makeover.
Which is huge. And a makeover. And whatever resources you need to hunt Billy the Kid down and kill him.
So they're like, you could take some of our guys. Like Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen is one of the guys. So he's one of the government, like the governor's men.
The governor's men.
And so young Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the... I mean...
He's still very, like, heavily accented Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, yeah. You would say he was a witness, maybe, in the... You know.
Yeah, I would say he was a witness.
Okay. To all this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he joins the fellowship.
He does. Oh, my God. Okay, so... Governor Wallace, Garrett, they give Garrett the job. He kind of abandons his idea of starting Garrett's place.
Right. Well, you know, Mrs. Garrett doesn't like it too much.
So he abandons his idea, but he...
Girls.
Oh my.
You shot Billy the Kid. Oh, my.
Oh, I shot Billy the Kid. Oh, my.
Well, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both.
I would not fight Mindy Cohen. She'd probably mess you up.
Mindy Cohen, I could do like a female Young Guns with like back in the day with like Mindy Cohen.
Yeah.
And like 2D Kim Fields.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Joe playing Calamity Jane.
call Garrett's place.
Yeah. Garrett's girls. So
Blair as the saloon girl. Yeah, it all works out.
And Poops starring Pat Garrett as Mr. Garrett.
Mr. Garrett.
Girls. So he gets the money, and so he decides he's going to approach us differently. He gives up on Garrett's place, but instead he goes to the newspaper and he hires, hires the reporter and the guy who makes the paper to come with him to document his hunt for Billy the Kid. He wants him to document it because he's going to be famous.
I think this guy is played by Jim Acosta, right from CNN. No, it's not? Okay, no, just checking.
So he says, record this, and then because I'm going to write a book afterwards and, you know, be famous for this. And
oh,
so,
yeah, that's what he wants. He wants to write a book for that, yeah.
He's going to get famous.
That's right.
So, so they ride around and they fight and they do whatever. They hear about Pat Garrett, and you see them. They have a, they have like a, Billy is shooting the eyes out of the newspaper where it has Pat's picture, because he's pissed about it. They, while they're there, they come across an Indian burial ground, which Jose Chavez y Chavez, he's a Mexican Indian. He's like, hey, you know, this is a sacred place. This is, you know, people are buried here. And Rudabaugh is like, hey, we can take these bones. People pay money to for all this bones to make like bone handled knives and to make these trinkets and stuff like that of Indian bones. And Chavez is like, don't fucking touch them. Just don't touch them.
Get out of here, Mr. Robot.
Yeah, right. And so he's like, don't even touch them. Because, you know, that's, you're disturbing these. And so he was just like, you see, they ride away. And then Rudabaugh comes back and starts trying to furiously dig some of them up. And Chavez starts fighting him. And so they're fighting. They're, you know, they're having a scuffle. And at one point, he falls back. Rudabaugh stabs him through the arm with this like giant knife, and Chavez slashes him across the chest, and then they kind of Rudabaugh goes to shoot Chavez, and everybody draws their gun because, hey, now the fight suddenly isn't fair.
Yeah.
And so they calm down. Chavez and him, like, are just kind of like, yeah, here's your knife. Here, you're fine.
Now, this scene seemed a little bit out of place to me.
Yes, it did.
And I didn't know why until I read why they filmed this. They actually filmed this extra because Lou Diamond Phillips broke his arm or his elbow during production. So they wrote this in as a way to kind of explain that.
Why he's not using his arm so much.
Yeah, he's a method actor. But, you know, I just thought that was kind of like odd, that scene, until I read that. I was like, okay. Yeah, sure. But I could have watched the movie and not even know. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'd have been okay still.
Yeah.
I didn't think the scene was like too awkward.
No, it wasn't too awkward, but it felt like it was like, what's this?
But to me, it establishes more of the relationship between Rudabaugh and Chavez, because that comes up multiple times.
It does, but I'm, you know, whatever.
So Billy and the gang, they come to a town, White Oaks. So they make it to White Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the while, they're getting tracked by Pat Garrett. And at one point, they, I think, like, Pat Garrett is to the Indian burial grounds. And, they're getting ready to leave when, they get surrounded by indigenous people who see that these graves are disturbed and assumes it's them. And luckily, though, the newspaper guy speaks the language, so he manages to calm them down and say, no, no, it wasn't us. You know, here's what we're doing, and they just leave him alone. So, and Pat Garrett's posse seems like it's missing something, though.
Yeah, I don't know, kick-assness?
Well, I just think it'd be tough. Like, if you had James Coburn with you, it would seem so much tougher.
I think so. I think it would be. I mean, talk about the affliction that would come from there.
Yeah, if you had Chisholm in your posse, it would be a lot tougher.
Chisholm would just get him one by one.
Yeah.
He would shoot them one by one. In their eye?
Yeah.
Wherever, I don't care.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Chisholm and that posse.
That's the name of my group.
Yeah.
Called Chisholm and my posse.
Anyway. So they're in White Oaks. They meet up with their former companion, Jane Greathouse, played by Jenny Wright. I'm not sure if she was in the... I can't remember if she's in the first one,
I don't even know
too.
Who that actress is.
Jenny Wright?
Yeah. Do you? I don't know who that is. She just seemed like a nobody to me.
She was in World According to Garp. She played somebody.
Sure.
And she's been in Things.
Things. Okay. That's fine.
She was like in St. Elmo's Fire and stuff like that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, I'm assuming she was. But I don't remember her, and I don't care to remember her.
It's okay. Yeah, she wasn't in that much stuff.
These movies, especially these movies, like Young... I don't know about Young Guns, but this movie does not have really great women characters in it,
no,
you would say.
No. So, in White Oaks, they meet up with Jane, and there's like a sign. It's like, we won't tolerate scum. And when Tom, the kid, 14-year-old, asks who, you know, these scummy people are.
Yeah.
Billy tells him, oh, bankers and, you know, cattle kings and all this kind of stuff. Like, the corporations are the big people.
Right. That's what we think.
Yeah.
The 1%.
Yes. But she still runs a local bordello. So they get there.
Would you call it a gorgle bordello? Oh, I can't.
Gorgle bordello?
Gorgle bordello.
Or bordello of blood.
I swear I haven't been drinking. I swear. Go ahead.
Or a bordello of blood.
Sure.
Which is a... Yeah. So, of course, you know, everybody is being entertained by the women in the bordello.
There's like two women.
No, there's a bunch of them.
Whatever.
There was.
Okay.
Doc is in the bathtub just reciting poetry to one.
Keep Yourself and like to play pranks and played a lot of pranks on, this is what I read, on Young Guns 1. Well, Emilio Estevez wanted to get him back. So during that scene, he put a, you know, like, Baby Ruth, like, a la Caddyshack, Baby Ruth's candy bar in the bathtub with him.
Nice.
Which I think is funny.
It's funny. Later that night, after Tom comes out of bedroom, he sees this kind of flickering light, and he's like, what the hell is that? And realizes that the lynch mob from earlier showed up.
Yes. Head by Jane Lynch.
The Jane Lynch mob.
John Carroll Lynch.
Yes.
That's why they call him the Lynch mob.
Yeah.
Because they're all Lynch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dorothy Lynch.
David Lynch.
David Lynch.
Yep.
Yeah. They're all there.
So they show
part
up.
Part of the Lynch mob.
So they show up and they are basically intent on hanging somebody. So now the deputy in the town, Deputy Carlisle, he says he's going to try to negotiate a deal, and he has to come in because Jane goes to see what's happening, and they grab her and throw her to the crowd. He says, all right, I'm going to negotiate a deal. So he comes inside. Now, Deputy Carlisle, of course, is played by...
Teabag.
Yep,
Teabag, Teabag from Prison Break.
Robert Nepper.
Well, yeah, right? And we're like, you were like, that's Teabag.
I was like, it's Teabag.
And I'm like, I don't know. He's not telling someone to grab his pocket, so I don't know if it's Teabag.
He looks... He's very young. He's got a mustache, so you can't see his face that well, but, like, it sounds like his voice just not as rasped from time.
Right, from time. But I was just like, wow, this guy's been acting for a long time.
Yeah. And so... but he just has this kind of bit part.
Yeah.
So he tries to negotiate a deal. He says, hey... They'll back off if we can give them the Indian, meaning Chavez, you know, we'll give them to him. They'll hang him, and then they'll be satisfied because they'll have their blood, and they'll move on. He's just an Indian. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay. So Billy says, hey, you know, Chavez, give me your hat and your wrap or your blanket. And he says, so he gives it to him, and he makes... Carlisle putting them on, and then he starts making like whooping sounds and pushes them out the front door, and so then the lynch mob mows him down. So Deputy Carlisle's dead. But everybody who's there with the lynch mob, they run off because they're going to be in trouble because they just killed this guy. So they take off. Of course, they later, Carlisle's one of the people who's attributed to Billy the Kid, like killing him. And so that he said that they blame that one on me, too. So there's a bunch of these where it's like Billy didn't kill people, but people just kept blaming it on him.
Yeah, it seems kind of odd.
Yeah. Anyway, but so the place has gotten shot up. They take off. Garrett tracks Billy to the bordello where Deputy Carlisle is still dead on the ground. And they're just getting ready to take him away. He does some crime scene investigation. So they're on the run and Garrett's still chasing them down. And they get real close to catching him. But he takes a different way to get him. He's like, we're gonna cut him off at the pass.
Yeah.
And so Tom is riding up ahead of Billy. And when they come up along the ridge, they see that Pat has cut them off. And so they are trying to turn around to go back. Pat aims at Billy, but he can't really see them because the sun's behind him, and he kills Tom Folliard, or Tom O'Folliard. And so the kid...
So the movie, he dies at age 14. But
yes.
In real life...
Well, we'll go... I'll circle back to those.
Okay.
So he is dead. And so they run off, and they go to a hideout. And Billy admits that the Mexican Blackbird, when he was saying we're going to go to run the Mexican Blackbird, Mexican Blackbird was the name of a prostitute.
Oh, was it a sex act? Well,
no.
Probably.
Well, yeah. It's her signature move. But it was just, it was basically a, it was just a trick he had to get the gang back together and just keep riding. Mm-hmm. So Doc is pissed. And so he, you know, he goes to, he's acting like he's going to shoot Billy. He wants to. And Billy's like, you know, I feel terrible. Just go ahead and shoot me. And then he says, do you think it'll work? I'm a god. And he's like, no, you're not. And so Doc goes to walk away. And as he steps outside the hideout, he gets shot. And they drag him back inside. And so they're like, okay, look, the game has to keep going. Like, let's finish playing the game. And so they all take off, and Doc basically goes out and starts shooting, trying to give them a chance to escape. And Doc Scurlock is killed here in 1881.
Well, he starts flatlining at first. At best, he starts flatlining.
Yes.
And then he says, you know, whatever, and then he dies.
And how many times did he get shot, what do you think?
Three or four times.
Oh, I thought maybe 24.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 24.
What?
Sorry.
Anyway. So they get away, and they're all running. They're all trying to get wherever.
Yeah, it's like, doesn't Billy go off on himself? He's like the designated survivor, wouldn't you say?
Yes. So, like, Billy dives back into the hideout to, like, shoot to finish them off. Chavez and, well, Rutabaga gets knocked off his horse, or his horse gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Chavez turns back around to save him.
That's what it was. Yeah.
So Chavez saves him, and they're riding off together. I'm like, okay, they're, you know, good relationship and whatever. And then as they're riding, I think, like, basically they start fighting and start, like, trying to knock people down. Chavez is off his horse, and Rutabaga just leaves him. Rutabaga's like, he's gone, just forget him, and starts taking off. But Buckshot George is like, no. So Henry turns around and goes to save him. And so he gets there, but not right before before Chavez gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks bad. It gets like gut shot. And so he's dying. But they write off. Billy gets brought back into Lincoln County by Pat Garrett. And he's sentenced to death by hanging at the courthouse. Oh, Pat also, in the meantime, has gone to that brothel. And when he did, he burns it down. And for no reason, Jane Greathouse strips down to nothing.
Yeah.
Gets on her horse and rides away with all of her clothing in the house still. But she's like, kiss my ass, White Oak. And just like leaves.
I was in St. Elmo's fire. Kiss my ass.
So
I'm not going to be in this fire. I'm going to be in St. Elmo's fire.
So Billy is in the courthouse. Jane visits him. And she says, you know, here is, go to the outhouse. She, like, gives him a little thing that says go to the outhouse.
First of all, calligraphy, wonderful.
Yeah. Yes.
For a prostitute, your calligraphy is amazing.
Well, yeah. She's a respectable lady.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. But she gives him, like, this bag full of whatever. Yeah. It just says outhouse on it.
Yeah. So he goes to the outhouse.
Sure.
And when he's out there, he gets a pistol that she gives him, and she never shows back up again. Gives him a pistol. While they're coming back inside, he kills a guard, and then shoots, like, the sheriff or whatever, or the deputy of the town. Shoots him. And basically, like, I mean, these are things that Billy really, you know, kill these people. So he escapes and heads back to the fort where, you know, he and Pat and everybody used to go. So by the time he gets there, Dave Rudabaugh, he's, of course, hasn't shown back up. He just completely abandoned the group.
Yeah.
And we have this scene. That it's interesting, like, unless you know what really has happened, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But, like, so Rudabaugh, he gets to Mexico, and there are these two guys sitting there, and he's like, hey, you know, do you know who I am? I'm Dave Rudabaugh. Like,
can I speak to your manager?
Yeah. And they were like, oh, we know who you are. And he's like, yeah, you know my name. And then one of them, like, has a machete and is just kind of like, wiping it down. But the whole story behind that is, I'll circle back around to it. So Chavez is dying from a bullet wound, and he gets up at one point, like, he's talking to Billy. He gets up and he walks out, and he sees the spirit horse that takes him to the next realm. Basically, like, he dies from this gut wound. And then he tries to give a name to... Billy tries to give a name to Buckshot George, who didn't really have a nickname until at that point. And Henry was like, no, sorry. I'm going to use my regular name. And then kind of takes off. And so Billy is by himself. He's losing it. He kind of is freaking out. He ends up going to, like, he's sleeping with a gal. She tells him, hey, if you go get some of the freshly butchered meat from the ice locker, I will make you some food. And he says, okay, great. And so he goes to the ice locker to get it. When he gets in there is no one. Like, there's nothing there. Like, not much, at least. And he's like, it's weird. And so he knows something's up. So he comes back to the room, and the gal is gone, but Pat Garrett is there. And so he, of course, has made sure that Billy is unarmed. So it was all the scheme. Billy asks Pat to let him run to Mexico and tell the authorities he killed him. Garrett declines because he says that, hey, look, if I do that, you're not going to be able to resist coming back. You're going to show up somewhere like in Arizona stealing cows, And then I'm screwed because they'll know that I lied.
Right.
So Billy's like, hey, look, you know, I know that you're having a hard time with this. He goes, you killed Tom. You killed the rest of our boys. And he goes, no, I didn't. You did that, Billy. Like, that's on you. You brought them into that. And so he was like, you know what? I'm going to turn around, you know, make this easy for you. You can just shoot me in the back. And so he looks like he's trying to jump out the window because as he's walking forward, he's opening the latch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Garrett fires a shot. And that's all you hear. You see like pinata break, and you see all these other things happen in conjunction with the gunshot. So the next morning they're having a fake burial. Well, and I don't know if Pat Garrett thinks it's real or what the deal is, but like, or who all's in on whatever, but
yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. We see a burial happening. It doesn't make sense because Pat just says, like, I can't let you get away because you're going to come back.
Right.
And then why would he let you go still?
Too much of a history, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So while he's doing that, we see a hand come out and steal Pat Garrett's horse, which, you know, we have to assume is Billy. But Pat Garrett seems, like, surprised by that. So maybe he really thought he killed Billy and somebody else was in there, or I don't know. That's what Bushy Bill says. Bushy Bill says that it was a different person, not Billy Kidd. It was like a different gunslinger. That Pat Garrett was just like, I'm just going to pass this off. Because he, you know, wanted to write his book.
Who knows?
So, and he Brushy Bill says, he says he never stole a horse from someone he didn't like, and then admits he didn't like Garrett, but he loved him. So, the attorney is convinced that Brushy Bill is Billy the Kid, and then agrees to help him. So, we kind of get an epilogue thing here that goes through. So the epilogue reveals that Arkansas Dave, aka Dirty Dave Rudabaugh, was beheaded once he reached Mexico to discourage more outlaws from crossing the border.
So you would say, now we're going to be scopes, okay? Yeah. We're going to say if that's true or false or somewhat true.
Somewhat true.
Somewhat true would be correct. Scopes.
Scopes?
Yeah, scope.com. Anyway, Snopes. I'm sorry. Did I say Scopes?
Yeah.
I was thinking
like the monkey trial.
I'm thinking of guns. Scopes, monkey trial. Yes, that's what I meant.
So
somewhat true. He did get beheaded.
Yes.
But it wasn't for a couple of years later.
Yes,
right?
So Dirty Dave, or just Dave Rudabaugh. He wasn't Dirty Dave, I think, until years later.
Those are the Daves I know, Dirty Daves.
So the whole thing is he died in 1886. So he died a long way down the road.
But he did get beheaded.
Yes. He.
Which is what you said.
He was with the Clanton gang at the time.
Did you say the Clinton gang?
Clanton.
Oh, the Clanton gang. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, the Clintons for everything. So, you know.
So he goes in 1886. He goes down to Mexico and was trying to, you know, just be on the run and kind of get off the grid. And he gets down there, and he gets in a gunfight with a bunch of the locals. And so, and it started over a card game, of course. He killed two guys, wounded another. He actually came away unharmed. But he couldn't find his horse. His horse ran off. So he goes back into the bar where he just shot a couple people. And when he goes back inside, they were like, hey, great, you're back, and just mow him down.
Okay.
And then he was decapitated with a machete, which is what the guy was polishing in the thing. He decapitated him with a machete and then put his head on a pole.
So some of the other things that happened that might not be true are...
Well, so it also in there it says Garrett's book detailing his pursuit of Billy was a dismal failure, and he was eventually shot and killed in 1908.
Is that true?
That is true.
That is true.
Yep. So he wrote his book. He thought it was going to be this big thing, but people kind of called shenanigans on it. Just like, because it seemed very like, it was heightened. It was kind of, it just didn't pan out. He was actually killed by some 20-year-old guy who got in a fight with him. And basically just wanted to take on the big man. Yeah. So.
Yep.
We also, let's see. It also says that Brushy Bill met with the governor. And this, the Brushy Bill met with the governor of New Mexico despite corroboration from several surviving friends of the kid. He was discredited and died less than a month later. Whether or not Brushy Bill was Billy the Kid remains a mystery. And so that is true. So Brushy Bill died like less than a month after meeting with the governor, who was like, they pulled a bunch of other like people claiming they were outlaws out of the woodwork and were like, hey, they said, yep, that's Billy the Kid. They're like, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, he couldn't.
I can't remember stuff from high school.
Yeah, but I have a calendar. So the governor was like, look, I just don't have enough to pardon or prove that you're him. And part of it wouldn't have been so much about the pardoning Billy the Kid. I think it would have been about recognizing that this guy was Billy the Kid.
More the recognition.
It was kind of the... It was kind of a double-edged sword. Like, you could do it, and it really wouldn't mean nothing to give him the pardon.
Jeremy, it's a double-edged gun, not sword. It's called young guns.
A double-edged gun? It's just a barrel pointing both directions.
Young swords, too.
Well, they had knives.
Yeah, that's true.
So, a couple other things. So,
Doc?
So, Doc Scurlock... So we see him die here. So we know that Dave Rudabaugh was off a little bit, 1884 or 1885.
Just a little bit there.
Like 4 years off. So Doc Scurlock died in 1929.
Ooh, that's way off.
Of a heart attack.
It's way off.
Yeah, he got married and he had settled down, became a highly respected citizen. And he was actually the guy who kept, he was like the mailman. He like ran the postal station.
Really?
Yeah. Out in his town in Texas. And so he was married. He, you know, had a family, all that stuff. He died at 80 years old. He died.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's way off.
So you were a little off there.
Little off there. Young guns too.
Let's talk about Jose Chavez y Chavez.
Yes, let's talk about that. It seems like that would be right?
Yeah, right? That would be incorrect.
Really?
Yes. So Jose Chavez y Chavez, he died in 1924.
That's, again, way off.
Yes. He was like 72 or 73 when he died.
Again, way off.
Yeah. So... he kept running with the gangs and everything like that. And he eventually, so at one point he became a deputy sheriff, but he just couldn't stay out of it. So he ended up joining up with a friend and becoming a desperado again. And so he kind of bounced back between being a lawman and not.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, he goes to jail. So he goes to jail. He was going to be executed, but the judge basically commuted his sentence and gave him life in prison, given the publicity of the case. So he got life. Now, in 1909, there was a jail riot. And Chavez helped the police. Chavez y Chavez helped the police. So he actually, again, bouncing back and forth between being kind of a gunslinger and this, like, he helped people out. And so the governor was like, damn, that was pretty good of you. So he pardoned him. He let him free. So for 15 more years, Chavez E. Chavez had this quiet life, and he died of natural causes in his home in 1924.
Right. So basically, we just kind of did this to make a movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and
for
even
the dramatic aspect of,
yeah, even beyond that. So Buckshot George, he dies in 1884, but they don't even mention him here.
Yeah, they don't.
But he actually became a lawman. Like, I think it was shortly after this took place. And so, but they don't even address any of that. And then Tom Folliard, so the kid who gets killed, the thing about him is he was actually Tom O'Folliard was Billy the Kid's best friend.
Okay.
And he died in 1880, a year before this movie came out, or a year before this movie took place.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, he when this movie came out, he would have been like 200 something.
No, this came out, or the movie took place in 1881. Right. Tom died in December 19th, 1880. So he was already dead.
Okay.
He was Billy the Kid's best friend. And when he died, he was 22. He was not 14. Okay,
so Hollywood does this. I don't like it when they do it.
Like, look, I
get why maybe they would. Maybe to heighten the situation.
Yeah. I get a little bit with the inaccuracies as far as, like, I'm okay with a little inaccuracy. Like, it's the same way I approach, like, comic book movies. I know some things just don't really translate well, right? Like, you know, it's not to be like Skurlock died, you know, died of a heart attack a bajillion years later. There's not much.
Yeah, there's nothing sexy about that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But this is too much for me. Like, this is really
it kind of is. It's kind of insulting to history.
Yeah.
You would say.
Well, and even then, like, and I had told you before too, like, so like the movie The Cradle Will Rock. It has all these events that are happening simultaneously in the movie. They actually take place at different times, like over a period of, you know, several years, but they put them all happening at once just for the dramatic effect of it. But really, the outcomes of them and what's happening is pretty, you know,
right,
relative. It's pretty consistent with, like, reality. This is just way off for me.
Well, you know, that's what we thought of it.
Yeah.
Right? But let's hear what other people thought of it, Jeremy.
Yeah, let's do that.
Shall we? CYK gives it a 10 out of 10. Even better than the original. This one is even better than the original. This one shows what happened to the gang after the first movie, and it tells how they finally ended up. No, it doesn't.
No.
But hey, not as funny as the first one. It nevertheless is a good movie for all other reasons. The movie does an even better job than the first by portraying the outlaws as young heroes, and I dare anyone to see it through the eyes or to the end with dry eyes, meaning they cried at the end of the movie for some reason. I don't know. I didn't cry at the end of this movie. Did you?
No.
Okay. Novaki gave it a 3 out of 10. Says, very disappointing. Bon Jovi's Blaze of Glory is one good thing about this movie. And the second is James Coburn. Wasted potential of good actors on boring, apathetic, terrible acted stories. Shooting was very chaotic. Dialogue cheap and acting disturbing. Even the soundtrack was a failure, except for Bon Jovi. I think this was written by Bon Jovi.
I think so, too.
Oh, Bon Jovi.
So that's John Anchovy.
John and Anchovy Bon Jovi. A little salty there. like an older Bon Jovi that's a little salty. All right. So, I don't know how you feel about those, but those seem kind of like...
Yeah, that's... I mean...
Judgmental both ways.
Look, I think the truth somewhere is in between those. Like, it's not the worst movie by far. But, I mean, it's basically a product of its time. It was very, like, flash
and pan. Yeah, it seems
like... It's more, you know, sparkle. It's...
Sparkle and not a lot of substance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why don't we talk about that in our five questions?
Oh, okay. What do you think is the best part of this movie?
There are a lot of decent parts of this movie. Emilia Estevez is fine in this movie. A lot of actors don't get really great moments. Like, I think you didn't use Keith or Sutherland correctly. I think Lou Diamond Phillips is okay in this movie. My favorite part of this movie is actually William Peterson. I think he's actually a decent kind of anti-hero villain, yep, kind of slash whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
But I think he does a really good job in this movie.
I would agree.
And the last scene with him and Billy the Kid was probably my favorite scene.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. When I look at this, I think the same thing, actually. So I started thinking, like, wow, I really like a lot of the peripheral characters.
Yes.
Like Doc, Buckshot George,
yes,
Chavez y Chavez. I mean, I like those characters. Even Rudabaugh. I'm not like, I was like, okay,
it's too much Billy in a way.
Yeah. Well, he plays him scummy. Like, I dislike the character, but I'm supposed to dislike.
Right. But what I'm saying is there's too much focus on Billy and not enough.
There is. And it's really, like, I get Billy is crazy. You know, they portray him as kind of being, like, crazy and reckless. But it's almost like he's cartoonishly crazy at this, yeah, point. Like, he's like, and, like, doing stuff. It's, yeah, like, okay, boy. Like,
with the governor where he's shooting the candles, you only have, like, two bullets left.
Very, yeah,
cartoonish. In,
yes,
a way. Yeah. You've got three candles with two bullets.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he spins at it and shoots the other ones.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. And so, but it is. It's like, yeah. I think it's just it's odd. It just seems. I think the peripheral characters are good. I like Emilio Estevez, but I don't think this is his best role.
I do too.
I think, yeah, the peripheral characters are great, but like one thing that I never paid attention to when I saw this before was William Peterson. I you know, realized he was in it, but like he does such a good job and he is so intense.
Yeah,
when he's really tracking Billy down. Yeah, I mean William Peterson I think is an underrated actor overall. You know, and so no, I really like when he was on, I was just like, yeah, okay, you know, Pat's coming for him. And I couldn't wait for him to meet up with Billy because I wanted to see the kind of dramatic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like in that scene, I thought that he was a little mismatched with Emilio Estevez. Emilio can bring the emotion in certain things, but in this one, I thought it was kind of flat. But William Peterson was intense. It was just Emilio didn't match him in intensity.
I agree.
Sometimes it took me out, like how good William Peterson was took me out of some of the rest of it that didn't quite match up to the standard. Would you reboot, continue, or cancel this movie?
They are rebooting it in 2020.
Are they?
They're set to reboot. Yeah, I just read it.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, I would reboot it. I think there's enough young actors nowadays, yeah, that you can, enough talented young people out there that you probably could reboot this. Having said that, if you do reboot this, please have better female characters in your movie. Please. These movies deserve to have female characters in them as well as male characters.
Yes. And I think they will. Actually,
they would.
You know what? Like I would do a reboot-quel of this. I wouldn't directly make it like a we're starting over, but I would make it a continuation. But I would pick like a different gang and a different like era or something like that, sure, and start it out so that you can have both these exist in the same universe and you're not like redoing these other two movies. Like you could have those and then have the third one or the next two or whatever focus on the James gang. Or focus on the Clantons, or focus on something like that. Like,
yeah,
start it up with something else. So you're not
sure,
you're not smashing the previous ones, but you're.
Well, it's kind of like every time you do a Batman movie, you have to tell us that Batman's family, like, is
right.
His parents died.
Yes,
we always have to get that background story. Like, we, yeah, don't know already.
Yes,
so it seems like Billy the Kid seems like it's overdone. Almost, it's almost like you need to be kind of. Like, there's other things that you can focus on.
Yes. West.
that are besides Billy the Kid. Do you know what I mean?
Well, and think about, like, okay, so if you wanted to do something where it's like, hey, we're going to do a different thing, and we're going to have, you know, we're going to have the Clantons, where we talk about them. And if Dave Rudabaugh...
Bill and Hillary Clanton.
Correct. Mm. If Dave Rudabaugh rode with them, or, like, hey, there's a crossover between that, we have so much digital technology now, we could, like, touch things up so we can make those movies seem like, hey, we have the same young version who was in the other one. Or,
sure.
But I think, like, start it over. And, like, the James gang had some women who were involved with it. So, I mean, it'd be a good one to do.
Okay.
Do you think this stands on its own?
No. There was a little bit that I was confused about.
Yeah.
As far as, like, what happened in the first movie. And how they became, you know, part of their own gang. So, yeah, I don't think it does.
Yeah.
I mean, towards the end of the movie it does, but I don't think at the beginning of the movie does. So I would say no.
Yeah, I say no also for the reason that... So if you haven't watched the first one, you don't really know who Doc and Chavez are. But that's the thing, like... They get picked up part of the way through, and you're like, oh, that's people I know, but why should I care?
Why should I care?
Yeah, like, is that important? And then they all ride off together, so you're like, are they friends or not? Like, I don't know what's happening.
I didn't. I mean, I knew because I know the the history of the movies. Right.
And me too.
But if I didn't, I'd be like, who the fuck are these people?
Right, exactly. And, like, they reference a lot. The Regulators
at the beginning,
and the Lincoln County
Wars.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, no, I wouldn't say it
does. Yeah, I would say it does not stand on its own. Let's see here. Does it make you want to watch the first one?
This movie, no, I don't think so.
No?
Yeah.
I think it kind of does because... I know this is
I'm
the
not
second
rush one. Out to go watch the second one.
No, because of this no, movie. Not by any means.
But if I came across it, maybe I would.
Yeah, I think I would. And mainly because this is a sequel and it has big star power. So would the first one have been solid enough to have, you know, I know there's a bunch
true.
Of people in it, but like,
true.
I think the solidness of the cast of this one, even if it's not the best, just the solidness of the cast and to see that, like, I'm okay with this as a sequel. Like, I don't hate it.
This is an okay movie?
Yeah, it's an okay movie. I could turn it on and have it play and whatever. You know, maybe it wouldn't take my whole focus, but, like, I would definitely wouldn't turn it off. That, to me, is like, oh, man, how would the first one be? You know, like, that's... I think it would intrigue me enough to go back and see it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I've seen it, but, you know... I think
I'm
it kind of makes
rush
me
out
want to
go.
I not. By no means would I rush out and do it, but I'd be intrigued enough to eventually go do it.
If I was flipping the channels, it was on. I wouldn't like ignore it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What would you sum up your experience in two words?
I don't know if this counts, but I'm gonna say okay, Corral.
Okay.
Does that count? Is it accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is an okay movie. Like, there's nothing... I didn't enjoy this movie, but I didn't, like, not enjoy it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very odd. This movie, I don't know. Like, the acting was fine. The story was okay. I just didn't... It didn't grab me as much as, like, I wanted it to.
Yeah.
Like, everyone talks about this movie. Have you seen it over and over again? And I'm like, why? It's not very quotable.
Yeah.
I don't think not. It is. I don't think... You know what I mean? It's most, like...
Well, most of the...
classic movies.
So there are pieces in there where there that would seem like that was... They were trying to make them quotable. But unfortunately, they were actually, like, Billy the Kid quotes. And they were just crammed in here.
Yeah. So I'm like, I guess I'm not. Maybe I'm not seeing something that other people are, or maybe the nostalgia aspect of, hey, these movies is one of the movies that one of the reasons why they watch it over and over again.
Yeah,
I just thought it fell a little bit flat, and I was really hoping that I would kind of go, yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah.
Let's watch the first one.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think my two words are Wild Billy. And so Billy the Kid in this, like, I think that the movie itself is fine. Even Emilio Estevez is fine. But the problem is, like, I get too much of the, like, ooh, I'm Billy the Kid, I'm crazy aspect of it. Like, I think there's times when Emilio Estevez is like, I'm the center of attention, and so I'm going to play this extra crazy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh my God, man, like, pull it back a little bit. Like, Billy the Kid was kind of a nutsy person from everything I've ever read. Like, he was not exactly stable. But, like, not only does he play him like crazy, but then he also plays him like he's a tactical genius. And they play him like the thing where he's like, you can try it. Like, I'm a god. And I was like, oh, that seems over the top. But really, that's what everybody's telling him, because they're like, yeah, afraid to shoot him, or nobody can touch him with anything. Or it's like, I don't know. It just seems very,
I think that,
yeah, it's a little over the top.
And I don't know about the first movie, like, how much it happens, but this movie, I think, as far as the gang is concerned,
yeah,
the best actor that you have there, you're not giving any substance to. And I think that's Kiefer Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
I think you really did not use him correctly.
Yeah.
And you could have. I mean, the guy's, you know, the guy who was playing, you know, didn't die till he was like 70-something.
Yeah.
So it's like, why did you just kill him on?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it also was like, that didn't have an impact for me because I didn't see the first movie.
Yeah.
So I didn't know why, you know.
Yeah.
You know, why would you kill him? Why would you kill that character?
Yeah.
And not, like, another character?
Yeah.
I just think that there was so many, with such a big cast, you focus on Billy too much.
Yeah.
It's not Young Guns 2, Billy's Quest.
Billy's back, bitches.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's Young Guns 2. And so it's just,
For Billy's gold.
The search for Billy's gold.
Ah, curly hair.
All right.
All right.
So that concludes this episode.
Yes.
We are doing one more Western before we get into our October spooktacular movies that we got going on.
Yes.
One more Western, and that Western includes what? Jeremy?
I believe.
The Return of the Seven?
Return of the Seven.
So look forward to that. Meanwhile, you go ahead and say it this time, Jeremy.
Well, you can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Apple. I wanted to say that.
What? You want to say that part? You can go through it all if you remember it.
No, you go ahead.
iTunes,
Stitcher,
Google Play.
Google Play.
Yep. At Podstrainer.
Podstream.
I just made that one up.
I know. I made that one up, too.
You can find us at most of those podcatchers. You can also find us at NoPhony.
NoPhony.
NoPhonyNetwork.com.
Network.com.
Yep. All sorts of different shows.
Twitter.
Yes. Also Twitter.
Yep.
And our handle is?
Handle is at something twitter.com.
Is that how you tweet?
I don't know how you tweet. Twit.
At the Deuce Podcast.
At the Deuce Podcast.
And for those of you who are tuning in, let me just remind you, this is not about the Deuce on
the HBO show. The Deuce?
Yeah, we got another friend request.
We did get another friend request from someone who we think was likes the Deuce television
on
show.
HBO. Quite frankly,
we've been doing this podcast long before that show has aired.
We'll see in court, HBO.
I will probably watch that sometime. I'm just not watching it right now. If you do like the Deuce television show, there are great podcasts that talk about that.
Yes.
This is not one of them.
This is not.
No.
No.
So go ahead, Jeremy. You could say the thing.
Okay.
Yeah, the ending.
The sequel is king.
Okay. Go ahead, say it.
No, go ahead.
Oh, you.
The sequel is king.
Yay.
and the earth was last night's bed. I don't know where I'm going, only I